your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Mr. David Britton.
Hey, I thought I had the wrong channel there.
Why is that?
Not the music I'm used to hearing from you guys.
Oh, you reckon? No, we slip a bit of everything in here, mate. With the drive show, we need to adapt.
Yeah, that's good.
I love that song.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I've heard it before.
Oh, you've heard it before?
What? Really?
Well, it's not a new song, is it?
I think it is.
Really?
Wait, well,
maybe the Sadies are doing a cover of someone.
Really?
Yeah, who knows? Sounds like Lee Hazelwood.
That lyrical content? Far out. Okay, great. It could very well be a cover of an older tune. I'll have to do my research. Thank you, David.
Okay.
Now, David, big news. SpaceX firing the first crewed spacecraft into space on Thursday from US soil. The first time since 2011?
Yeah. You've done your homework as always, Johnny.
Don't tell the whole story, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what can I add to that, really?
What colour is the spaceship?
Since 2011, the last shuttle flight, the Americans and everyone else to get up into orbit has been going on Russian spacecraft. So what NASA's been doing in the meantime is helping private companies to replace what NASA's done since the 1960s. And SpaceX is the first to be able to take people up into orbit from the United States.
Did they do it with like an animal first or stuff like that, or?
No, they did do tests. Mm. They didn't need to put animals in the capsule. They've done lots of different tests. One of the most spectacular I talked about in the show a while ago, where they fired the rockets to separate the capsule from the rocket if there was a failure on the rocket.
Mm.
So
they shoot their own rocket.
They needed to come down safely. They tested that, but again, without people inside.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, so this is the first time they'll actually go into orbit. And the spacecraft itself, of course, is a new design. The first in 39 years, the space shuttle was designed at launch in 1981. So the Dragon, Crew Dragon, is what this craft is called from SpaceX. It's all touch screen. So no more dials and switches. Totally automated. It can go up to the space station by itself. But the two astronauts on board, the NASA astronauts, SpaceX doesn't have astronauts, the NASA astronauts will be practicing manual flying during this. So this is a test flight, and these are astronauts behaving as test pilots. So they'll go up, dock with the space station, and they'll be up there for 2 to 3 months, no more than 3 months. Not exactly sure what they're going to be doing while they're up there. I can't find information about that. I guess that'll come down in time. But at this stage, the whole mission is to test out this system. And then, of course, after they're finished at the space station, they'll undock, deorbit, and splash down in the Atlantic, just east of Florida.
Is there a sense of nervousness using new technology or privately produced technology for a space flight?
Even the old technology, there's always a danger. There's always risk with any of the human space flights. This was only last year, beginning of last year, that one of the Russian ones had an anomaly, and they had to bail out and land the spacecraft from about 30 kilometers up or something like that. It still does happen. This being new technology, there are the risks, but they have done a lot of testing. But this is the first, and they've done a dry run on the ground with the astronauts. But there's nothing like the real thing, doing the actual mission with the people aboard.
Tell me about it. Really, do you know about it?
Yeah. So anyway, there'll be 8:30 on Thursday morning. At 8:33 Thursday morning is when it's meant to be leaving. So that'll be broadcast live, probably across TV channels as well as the internet, and I mean, it's an important thing. It's so important that Donald Trump is aiming to go to it. So I hope he doesn't hex the whole thing.
Yeah. Now, the Hubble telescope has seen some water plumes on a moon out, is it Neptune or Jupiter?
Europa,
yeah. Right, so the reason I've put this in, it's a slightly off the beaten path sort of story. It's not your regular big discovery. But the reason I've included it is because the head scientist in this project, I met him when I was over in Europe last year, and he took me on a little tour around the European Space Agency Center near Leiden in the Netherlands. He had previously come here and given a talk about the JUICE mission when he was visiting New Zealand the year previous to that. And so what he has done is to go back over old observations of the Hubble Space Telescope, because there's an anomaly in one of the instruments. It was measuring protons, these positively charged subatomic particles that come off the body. In this case, it happened to be Europa, one of the
Jupiter's moons,
four big moons of Jupiter. And there was a drop in the number of protons. And since that happened back in 2000, it's been a real mystery. Anyway, Hans Heibrich is his name. Him and his team figured that it might have been because a water plume shooting out of the moon blocked those protons.
Mm.
And basically their study has been able to show that that, in fact, is what happened. Now, we know one other moon that does this. That's Enceladus, which is a moon of Saturn. And the Cassini spacecraft was able to take photographs, and it flew through one of those plumes and measured that water geysering out of
Enceladus.
So this is the first time they've been able to show that it is happening on this moon as well. And part of the reason for this is that the JUICE mission, the Jupiter Isomoons Explorer, which is a European Space Agency mission, which Hans Heibrich has been involved in preparing for, it'll be going to Jupiter and it'll be examining Europa. So this is a partly in preparation for that. That launches in 2022. So just interesting, they're able to discover something from data that came from the year 2000.
Are they giant geysers? Is that what they... Is that what's shooting this water into the air?
Yes, it'll be pressure from under the ice. There's a huge ice covering all around the moon, and they think there's a liquid water ocean underneath that icy surface, a lot of water. And the gravity of Jupiter and the other moons pushes things around, and so the water gets... squeeze up in cracks and erupts through cracks in the surface ice.
Nice. Now, space vermin. This wouldn't be referring to all the satellites that are appearing in the night sky.
Yeah, celestial vermin. This is a piece by Ian Griffin, who's director of the Otago Museum. He was also director at the Stardom Observatory, actually, about 20 years ago. But he's down in Otago these days. He's just expressed in the Otago Daily Times, he has a column, expressed his frustration with the SpaceX satellites that are launched 60 at a time going across the sky. He likes to get out and get images of the night sky, especially aurora and so on. Very good from down Otago, the south of South Island. But these satellites go across and ruin his photographs, so... Yeah, he was making a reference to another astronomer called Walter Bard, who called asteroids vermin of the sky because their trails spoiled the photographs of galaxies that he was studying. Ian Griffin's calling them vermin of the sky. It's interesting, though. I actually had a chance last night to ask some of our local researchers that do a lot of discovering of planets around other stars in Auckland, and they said no, they haven't had trouble with any satellites, including the SpaceX satellites, getting in there in their way. So it's really just those who are taking wide field photographs and so on that it becomes an issue, I think.
Yes. Now, what's happening in the night sky at the moment, David?
Well, after sunset in the west, Venus is gone. It's gone too close to the sun now. Mercury's taking its place, but it's very, very low, and it's quite faint, nowhere near as bright as Venus, of course. But it can be seen. Binoculars, you might be able to pick it out. Telescope, even better. And in the east, Scorpius, the scorpion is rising in the east. And on the 8th and 9th of June, the moon will go past Jupiter and Saturn. There might be an opportunity for a bit of a astro photograph there. And in the south, you've got the Southern Cross. So there's a few things to have a look out for in the next couple of weeks in the night sky, as long as the sky clears up again, which we've been spoiled in the last few months.
When does the Stardome open if I don't have a good telescope?
It's just been decided that Stardome will be reopening next week on Wednesday, the 3rd of June. I think I might have sent you some information for Tuesday, but that's not correct. It's
okay.
Wednesday next week, the 3rd of June, Stardome's reopening. But the details haven't been announced yet. So
just keep an eye on the Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and stuff.
Yeah. And look for the details there. There will be planetarium shows from Wednesday, but only in the evening. There won't be any daytime shows initially, but that's bound to change as time goes on. So check out the website, stardome.org.nz, and of course our Facebook, Instagram and Twitter accounts will have updates as well, I'm sure.
Awesome. Hey, thank you very much, David.
No trouble.
Good luck for the opening next week, and we'll look forward to chatting to you in a fortnight's time.
Space. I look forward to, Johnny.
Cheers, mate.
See you later.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
They'll all be spaced out. They will be spaced out.